Now it gets interesting. In this episode, part two of three, we are going to be breaking down what goes into a funnel that converts so that you can take what you're learning in this episode and apply it to any and every funnel in your business. And yes, you are going to have more than one funnel in your business. To refresh your memory, last week we unpacked how to build a welcome sequence that converts, what to sell in that welcome sequence, how the funnel works, all of the things. This is your breakdown episode today. We're going to look at what actually goes into each and every funnel that builds trust, creates desires, and gets people from just reading their emails to actually clicking buy, which keeps you in business. So if you're building funnels inside your business, and you should be, I know that should word, but we really do need multiple funnels in our businesses to lead people down the pathway. This episode is going to give you a tactical checklist that you can use to make sure that your funnel actually converts. Some of the things that I'm going to invite you to think about as you start to build your funnels, you need to know exactly who that funnel is for. Who has downloaded your lead magnet? Who is attending your masterclass or your workshop series? Who bought the offer that you're now seeding the next offer for? Yes, you can stack funnels one on top of the other so that people are continually going down the golden pathway with you. Who is this for? Every email in every funnel needs to have a clear, focused job. Introduce one offer in the entire funnel, and you just keep hitting on that offer over and over and over again with every email in the funnel taking another angle or another way of looking at the offer. You never want your reader wondering, gosh, I don't know how I could work with her, or I wonder what the next step I could go with him is. It's not really clear to me what exactly this person does or how they can help me. It needs to be in every funnel crystal clear that this reader knows exactly what you're offering and that it's for them. And if it's not for them, that they can bounce off, aka unsubscribe. So we're going to go over some funnel hygiene and seven things that you can do to keep your funnel really super clean. The first thing is that you want to have a clear entry point. Every funnel begins with a specific opt-in. It could be a freebie. It could be a quiz that they've done. It could be a webinar sign-up. It could be that they've run their human design chart, but it has a really clear entry point. And you're not recycling generic welcome sequence emails across every lead magnet. I hate when this happens, where I download a second or a third thing from someone and I think, wait, I've heard all of this before. Where have I heard this? And it's that they've just copied and pasted, not considering that I'm coming in with a different lead magnet. Because your lead magnets probably handle different things for your ideal client. So bring them up to speed from the point that they came in at. Always ask, what are they coming in for? And more importantly, where are they going next? Remember from the last episode, it's about starting with the offer that you are seeding in this email sequence. You're not necessarily starting with the lead magnet. That was their entry point, but where are they going? Where are you taking them on this journey? I'm repeating myself here, but the second thing is that your email sequence has only one goal. Every funnel sells one thing, not your entire business. I know that you may do lots of things in your business, but we're going to focus on one thing in each funnel. That thing could be a report. It could be a session with you. It could be a workshop. It could be your membership. It could be your course. That's another thing. It doesn't have to be a low ticket offer. So you may have something in your email sequence that sells for $7 or $27 or $47 or $97, but your funnel could be leading into a $2,000 course. A funnel doesn't only have to be for low ticket items. You could totally be selling an evergreen program in your email funnel. Just make sure that you're sticking to one thing per funnel. You don't want to confuse them with too many choices, because when you have clarity in what you're offering and you can keep coming back to that one thing that you're offering, that's going to convert more sales. Number three, belief shifting content. This wins the game. Your funnel should challenge what your ideal client, your ideal buyer currently believes. And I'm going to ask you to go a little bit deeper here. This was actually a topic on my Design to Profit call today. We were looking at the underlying beliefs that our ideal fit clients have and why they're not buying. And there is so much content right now on the online space, social media, where people are saying, well, the reason this isn't happening for you is because you have a belief that XYZ, which is great. That's fine. But it's not earth-shattering. It's not changing anyone's view. It's not making someone go, oh my gosh, that's the thing. Most times they're looking at it and going, well, yeah, I already know that, but I don't know how to fix it. So what you want to be telling them is, what don't they know that they don't know? What's the underlying belief shift that needs to happen? So the example that we were using in Design to Profit today was time and money, because time and money are going to be the objections that you get the most. But it's not really about time and money. Maybe it's about worthiness. Maybe it's about being seen. Maybe it's about getting visible, which may sound like the same thing, but it's actually a different underlying belief. So what can you tell your person that actually unpacks a belief that's keeping them stuck, that makes them want to move closer to you? Because that's the goal of your funnel, is to move them closer to working with you. So what's the real reason that they haven't solved their problem yet? And use this email to gently reframe that belief with them. Help them to see it in a new light so that they're closer to moving further with you. The fourth thing that you're going to do is give them a window to possibility. The brain is wired for possibility. Paint the after picture. This is often in a sales page, the imagine sequence. Imagine how great your life will be when you understand that as a manifesting generator, you can do 100 things at once. Imagine how it will feel when you actually know that rest is sacred as a projector. Doesn't have to be that wording, but you get the idea. What changes when they say yes to your offer? It's always going to be a good idea to tell a story. The brain is wired for story. Paint the visual picture. Help them to actually feel into the outcome of what's different on the other side of your offer. The fifth thing that you're going to want to do is prove that your method works. Maybe it's human design, maybe it's EFT, maybe it's astrology, maybe it's any one of those things, all of those things combined. But you're not necessarily teaching them about human design or astrology or EFT or whatever. Instead, you're helping to show them how your approach is different than other things they've tried and how it will actually move them closer towards their goal. What's different about the way that you approach this problem that they have? Because you are in the business of solving problems. And they need to understand when they're in this email sequence that you've got what it takes to solve this problem. If you're not solving a problem, then there's no reason for them to hire you. Use testimonials, case studies, personal stories, whatever it takes. You are never going to overdo it with testimonials and case studies. Number six, be direct with your offer. Don't beat around the bush. Don't pussyfoot around it. Don't try to soften it. It's an offer for them to solve their problem. You could be seeding your offer all along in your emails. That's completely fine. But have one, at least one standalone, straight up sales offer that's like, here, buy this. Proper copy and all of those things, of course. What that's going to do is have people jump off, and that's okay. Remember the ride or die, the buy or die thing? You want buyers on your email list. There's no reason for you to be paying for subscribers who are never going to buy from you. And if one sales email is going to make people bounce off your list, then let that be okay. It's okay because they were never going to buy from you anyway. So one clear, at least one clear, standalone sales email, and consider including urgency. So you may use something like a deadline funnel. That's an app. But many email platforms now have timers that you can put directly into your email that give people a discount for acting quickly. Your call to action needs to be unmistakable that this is the way that they move forward. This is how they change their life, their business, their relationship, whatever area of expertise you have. And then you can do as many more emails as you want in this series and keep seeding that offer. It's going to be really good practice to take people out of the sequence who've bought the offer. What does that mean? In your email system, there will be a tagging system, and you should be able to remove people from a sequence once they've made the purchase. So they don't keep hearing about this offer over and over and over again, and they think, well, yeah, I bought that like 6 days ago and you're still emailing me about it. You should be able to put that filter in where you filter people out who've already bought that offer. Now, if this is the point where you're like, okay, I got it, I'm good, I'm going to go do this, you go do this. If you want a little bit more, I'm going to give you just one more little piece of the puzzle. When you take people out of that sequence because they've bought the offer, you can completely start a new funnel. So in that new funnel, you can unpack with them how to use that thing that they just bought. How is it going to change their life? How are they going to implement it? And then when you get to email 5, 6, or 7 with that sequence, you can sell them into the next thing. Maybe it's a reading. Maybe it's coaching that you do. Maybe it's a course that you've recorded. So these funnels are not necessarily meant to be standalone where they do one job. You can stack funnels one on top of the other so that someone's always moving through your ecosystem. This is not necessarily a linear path. It's something where you're encouraging people to just stay with you for the long haul. That's what funnels do. They keep them in your ecosystem and they help you to solve the problem that your ideal client is having at whatever the level their resources allow at the time. So to recap the things that you're going to avoid in your funnels, you're going to avoid offering too many things at once, one thing per funnel. You're not going to over-explain or teach or educate. You're actually doing things that are going to move them closer to you, like busting objections, breaking down beliefs, showing what's possible. You're not going to assume that they know what the offer is or that they know what's the next best step for them. You're going to actually spell it out. And each email is going to be intentional. You're not going to be just sending things, hey, I just wanted to check in and see how it's going. That's not what kind of a relationship this is. This is a relationship where you are the expert and you are bringing people into your world so that they can change their life with the solution that you offer. I'm going to give you just a few more tactical tips and then we're going to close it out. One of the things that you can do that will help with your open rates is to use subject lines that open loops and also CTAs at the end that open loops. CTA is call to action at the end, open as a loop. Watch for the subject line XYZ. If you want to know about XYZ, check your email on Thursday. A subject line that might open a loop might be something like the biggest mistake my clients make when looking at their human design, or how to know when it's time to get help. Test the timing in your email sequence as well. So it's really popular to do email sequences one per day, but I know that a lot of people in this space especially are getting really tired out of that. So you test it and see. Business is third line. Keep testing. Is one every 3 days best? Is one a day best? Your audience will let you know. Use segmentation to segment your subscribers according to their interest. If you do more than one thing in your business, the last thing that you want is people getting all of the emails and getting all messed up. Segment your list properly. Write your email for the skimmer. There are many people who are just going to skim through your emails. So use bolded text and headlines to draw that skimmer throughout your email so they still get the point of what you're saying, even if they don't read every word. And then know what's working in your funnels. Keep whatever system you use, if it's a Google Doc, if it's an Excel sheet, if it's a Trello board, whatever it is, know what's working in your funnels and keep track of it so that you can follow that formula again in other funnels in your business. That's it. Now, I think for the next one, I haven't written it yet, but I think for episode 3 in this 3-part series, we are going to dig into your human design and how to make sure that your funnels match your energy. Sound like fun? Tune in next week.